Should we get started?
I think so. There aren't any other board members online at this point. We did hear from Sue that she would not be available. Haven't heard from anyone else, but I guess I suspect this is it.
Okay.
So I think we can get started.
We'll just have people introduce themselves as they speak.
Very good. I'll kick it off with just a 2 second intro here. Andrea, if I might,
sure.
each year we have an affirmative action plan developed by a company called OutSolve. We've been doing that for many years. Turns out there's a tremendous amount of statistical analysis involved in determining these placement goals. And so it's always best for us to have someone on the outside do it. We like to bring this to the board each year and share with you what the outcome of that analysis was, and also what we're doing in the way of trying to enhance diversity, because it is something that we have a little bit of a challenge with, trying to diversify our workforce. Not for lack of trying, I will have to say, but we do have a bit of a challenge, and so we want to make sure and keep the board up to date on the initiatives that we have underway and what we are trying to do to affect that. So that's kind of the outline here. We're going to start with Erica Hale is going to give us a presentation on the process and the outcomes from OutSolve, and then talk just a little bit about initiatives we have underway, and then we can answer any questions that you may have.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Michelle, take it away.
Can you see my screen?
Not yet.
Okay. Share. How about now?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Good deal. Let's see. Okay, well, let's get started then. Oops, hold on.
Zoom's on. I lost it.
Yep, yeah. There you go. Sorry, the problems of having two screens. Well, good afternoon. My name is Erica Hale, and I work in Des Moines Water Works HR department, and I'm here today to discuss Des Moines Water Works Affirmative Action Plan and the information or data behind our plan. I will start our discussion today by explaining what an affirmative action plan is and walking through Des Moines Water Works data, placement goals, and benchmarks for the utilization of veterans and persons with disabilities. Please feel free to stop me and ask questions as we go through this presentation. How do I get it to move now? Okay, hold on. I can't get my screen to move with this.
In your PowerPoint?
Oh, there we go. I don't know what it was. Yes, it's a PowerPoint. First things first, what is an affirmative action plan? In an effort to help prevent discrimination and introduce more diversity into the workplace, some employers have adopted affirmative action plans. Affirmative action refers to outreach and recruitment methods that encourage minorities and other specific categories of the population to apply for jobs. The reason companies create affirmative action plans is to affect the diversity of applicants by attracting more minorities, females, veterans, or disabled persons. Know that affirmative action laws prohibit discrimination on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, national origin, disability, or veteran status, and requires affirmative action to ensure equality of opportunity in all aspects of employment. Not all companies are required to have affirmative action plans. Reasons for this requirement are listed here. Des Moines Water Works is considered a federal contractor because the federal courthouse purchases its water from us. Because Des Moines Water Works is required to establish an affirmative action plan, there are repercussions if we fail to. An audit by the OFCCP, which is the Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs, is one of the most concerning ones as an HR professional. Once I outline the demographics of Des Moines Water Works employee base, we will discuss placement goals. Placement goals are targets determined to be reasonably attainable by means of applying good faith effort to make all aspects of the entire affirmative action program work. Placement goals are used to measure progress towards achieving equal employment opportunity. We work with a company, OutSolve, to create our affirmative action plan. We provide data to OutSolve, such as applicant information, hiring and promotional data, and they provide statistical analysis of our data and compare that to the U.S. Census information to determine our placement goals. Let's take a look at Des Moines Water Works data for 2019. Out of our 206 employees, Des Moines Water Works has 16 minority employees and 59 female employees. When recruiting for open positions in 2019, we received 212 applications. 131 of those applications were from female candidates, including 51 minority females, and 39 applicants or applications were from minority male candidates. We filled 11 positions in total, but 5 positions were hired externally. Of those external hires, we hired 3 males and 2 females. But the real question is, does Des Moines Water Works workforce represent the racial and gender makeup of our labor pool? This is an actual page of our affirmative action plan that shows the number of people in each category in the first column, the percentage breakdown between minority and female employees, and the percentage of available applicants. These last couple of columns show whether our employee base matches the available applicants in the local job market. And as you can tell, Des Moines Water Works is doing a great job in all categories, except for the craft workers. The next slide I'll show you shows a narrative of that same sheet. So I'll just give you a couple seconds to read through it. Sometimes it's easier to read the words versus looking at the numbers. Are you ready for me to go to the next slide? That's fine.
Sorry, I was trying to move my screen of faces around so I could see the...
No, I get it. It's a lot of words too.
Okay. I'm good if everyone else is.
Oops, hold on. So based on the previous slides, we need to take a closer look at our craft workers. This group consists of 85 employees, of whom 3 are minorities and 4 are female. To match the makeup of available job candidates in the central Iowa area, we would need to hire an additional 8 full-time employees for minorities and 6 full-time employees for females. If you're wondering what job titles fall under the craft worker category, they would be jobs such as utility mechanic, equipment operator, water production specialist, crew leader, custodian, mechanic, and concrete worker. These are not all the job titles in the category, but hopefully it gives you an idea of the types of jobs. In 2019, we had similar goals for craft workers. And based on the numbers, we haven't made much progress, but we also need to remember we only hired 5 external candidates in 2019 too.
So when you say we only hired 5 external candidates and we hired we had six internal promotions. Do those internal promotions create vacancies? And those were those five that we filled, or?
I don't know the specific jobs off the top of my head, but yes, usually there's kind of a rolling rock, so that yes, if somebody moves into a position, then another position becomes available.
Okay, gotcha.
Disparity analysis. Something that came out of the statistical analysis of our hiring data is called disparity analysis. It is a tool to measure the statistical relationship between two groups. In 2019, we hired one male and one female in the laborers and helpers classification. But because of the large difference in the number of applications received between genders, it does show as a disparity. However, we also view this as a positive because typically the laborers and helpers role is male dominated. But regardless, we always want to hire the most qualified candidate. Next, we'll look at the hiring of protected veterans, which are defined as active duty wartime or campaign badge veterans who serve in active duty in the U.S. military during a war or campaign. The current benchmark for protected veterans is 5.9%, meaning out of newly hired employees, you would ideally want to hire veterans at a rate of 5.9%. Unfortunately, none of our new hires in 2019 identified themselves as a protected veteran. This step occurs in our hiring process when applicants first apply and are asked to self-identify. Next is hiring persons with disabilities. Like protected veterans, there is a benchmark or utilization goal for each job category of 7%. In reviewing the data we provide OutSolve, this page shows the number of employees in each category, this first column, and whether or not our employees identify as disabled, and if we meet the 7% benchmark. We do not meet the utilization goal in several of the categories, but I want to be clear that these numbers reflect how employees self-identify. Employees may be reluctant to share private information on their disability with their employer out of fear for how the information may be used. And even if the employer knows of an employee's disability, we may not designate the employee as disabled. Only the employee can self-identify. And the next slide will show the narrative of that first slide, just because sometimes it's better to have it in words. But what it's showing us here is the technicians and the craft workers have met that 7% threshold. The other categories have not. Lastly, I want to share some of the ways that we're trying to increase diversity at Des Moines Water Works. We are constantly reevaluating our outreach and recruitment efforts in order to reach more qualified and diverse applicants. Each externally open position is shared by email with 24 diverse groups to be posted at their locations. This list includes groups like Creative Visions, the Iowa Asian Alliance, Veterans Helping Veterans, and the Iowa Division of Latino Affairs. A couple of ideas we tried last year for the first time included using sandwich boards to advertise open positions along Fluor Drive, which has had a captive audience due to construction slowdown. We also met with Iowa Prison Industries to discuss their apprenticeship program. This is not an exhaustive list of all activities, but highlights a handful of activities. I appreciate you taking the time to review Des Moines Water Works Affirmative Action Plan and welcome any ideas or thoughts you may have to help us in our effort. And please let me know if you have any questions.
I do have a couple of questions. Meeting with Prison Industries and their apprentice program, has that gone anywhere or?
I actually did not meet with them. And so I'll let Doug and Rochelle talk about that. They did give me some information about it, but I'm not sure how far we've got along. I don't know what opportunities they have for our type of work.
Sure. Okay.
Doug or Rochelle, you want to address that?
Sure, I'll jump in here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
So, yeah, Rochelle and I did actually go on a tour of Mitchellville and actually looked at the apprenticeship program and visited with a couple of different individuals there regarding the program. We had, there are some opportunities there, but I think also some challenges because the specific types of apprenticeship programs that they operate don't necessarily lend themselves to the openings that we have, but that is still something that we're considering and we remain in contact with them as well.
Okay. And my other question is do we do anything within our hiring practice to eliminate bias? Or what does our hiring practice look like? And I'm thinking, I know in my own organization, some things we've started doing is, you know, removing names when reviewing applicants trying to eliminate any sex identification pronouns in resumes and things like that. Do we do anything like that at Waterworks?
We haven't done anything like that specifically. We have, a few years ago, we implemented a kind of a ban the box initiative where we removed a box regarding any sort of previous criminal history from the application. So that information is not there. When applications are being reviewed, but we've not removed anything as far as gender identification or anything like that as part of our process.
Okay. I think those were all the questions that came to my mind initially.
You know, Andrea, I would share that this has been sort of a perennial challenge for us and something we do focus on. Mm-hmm. But in a year's time when we only hire five people and almost all of them are coming into entry-level construction positions, mm-hmm. it's difficult to attract candidates that fit into either of these groups. We have been more fortunate attracting female candidates than we have with minority candidates, but it's been a struggle. And so we're always looking for new ideas like the ones that Rochelle shared, mm-hmm. just to try to find different pools of people where we could get qualified applicants.
Do we have any idea of what we're anticipating with retirements this year and potential openings? How many there might be?
We've talked a lot about that because of, as you're aware, the IPERS vesting happens at the end of this year. And so we have taken a really close look at the positions that we expect to be open. The big challenge there that we always have, though, is that those very experienced people who are going to retire, in all likelihood, we will have an internal candidate who will just move into their position. And
sure.
then in all likelihood, we'll have another internal candidate that will move into that position, and then possibly even another. So Rochelle gets to fill four openings for every retirement. And then that results, we're expecting that we're going to have, you know, 4 to 6 openings in our pipelines laborer group, and probably an opening in our vehicle maintenance area where the fueler is kind of a constantly revolving position, and then possibly field customer service. So we have looked at that, but it's, you know, we're very supportive of promoting from within and giving people those opportunities, but it does tend to result in those entry level manual labor sort of positions. as our openings to the street.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Doug, Rochelle, Erica, anything else to share in that regard?
I don't believe so.
I was just going to mention, I don't think we can see Rochelle on the call, but Andrea, for your benefit, Rochelle Basto is our other HR generalist, and she is the primary recruiter for Des Moines Water Works as well. So,
great.
I can see her there. Rochelle waves.
I'm here, Andrea.
Great. Sorry, I couldn't see her on my screen. So,
yeah, yes. No problem.
Yeah, I guess I'm here.
So, in addition to the ideas that you guys pursued last year, are there any new ones being added to the docket for this year?
We haven't identified anything specific this year. I mean, unfortunately, we've had very limited recruiting this year. We've had only we've filled two positions, I guess, so far this year. Rochelle, is that correct?
Yep, I'm on my third. So we had one at the very end of 2019, and I've filled two since then, and I've got one up other than Ted, which we didn't fill internally. So we'll call him, you know, he's not new, but he's not old either. So
wow, thanks for that.
Yes.
Okay.
Because of the IPERS vesting coming at the end of this year, no one has retired basically this year, which is the way we have most of our openings, frankly, is people retire. So it's been a really light year. And with the pandemic, it's, you know, many of the initiatives that we like to participate in are not even happening, you know, the job fairs and those kind of things. So it's been challenging, but it's kind of an ongoing challenge for us. And we every year just have to recommit to finding good qualified applicants.
Yeah. And this is a topic that so many different organizations are, you know, reviewing annually and bringing it up to the top of their priority list. And I appreciate you guys keeping it top of mind as we do think about openings and retirements and shifting staff from within. So thank you for this report. I appreciate it.
Certainly welcome. Thank you.
I guess one last question as I'm talking out loud. If we promoted somebody that meets those diversity goals from within, does that count towards meeting our goals?
You know, I'll let the experts answer.
It does, actually, according to the information that Outsol provided, that they do look at our internal pool as well with those placement goals. So that would count if we had individuals moving up into those positions.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's interesting, too, Andrea, as we go through this year over year, you'll probably see that when we do promote someone, you know, a minority candidate or a female candidate into a different job, sometimes that, you know, benefits the pool they're promoting into, but results in a placement goal in the pool they promoted out of. So it's like never ending. As the people move around, the goals kind of just shift from one place to the other. And it's an ongoing challenge, but it's something that HR has been focused on. And,
you know, one more thing I'll add too, we did, within water distribution, we have a new apprenticeship program that we've not had the opportunity yet to really fully roll out, but that is another initiative that would help with potentially bringing individuals into the organization and preparing them for those entry-level positions that we have.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that getting underway and watching how that grows and becomes successful. Thanks.
Yeah, I think it'll be great from this opportunity or from this perspective, but also just the training I think is going to be really valuable for that group. Mm-hmm. A couple quick things for me, Andrea, if I might, on CEO comments. I will share that I'm sad to report that both the Buttercow Festival and the Des Moines Marathon have both been canceled this week based on the mayor's recent proclamation. So a couple of events that the foundation was looking forward to and kind of counting on have both been canceled. That's unfortunate. It does look like DNR is going to issue West Des Moines water use permit on Thursday without much influence from the comments that we made. So we'll see where we go from here on that. But we have had some conversations with them and they've shared some information and we've shared some information and good discussion. But it does look like they will be issuing a water use permit on the Raccoon upstream from us, which is something we were hoping would at least have influence on in terms of the impact that we think it may have on us, but that hasn't happened yet. Lastly, for me, I'm going to be out of the office on Friday. So, and I'm actually, believe it or not, driving to Sioux City to pick up a honey extractor, Andrea. So a lot of honey to extract this weekend.
Good for you. Good. Yeah. Way to stay on it.
That's right.
Well, that's disappointing to hear about the permit from the DNR.
Yeah, it is. We had a long discussion with them, though, and they've given us their assurance that they believe that they have protected our pre-existing allocation and gave us some perspective on our analysis. They don't agree with our analysis. They gave us some perspective that we will be meeting to discuss yet this week. There really isn't opportunity for us to respond to that and change their plan, but we're certainly going to try to understand the perspective that they gave us. And if we can get to the point where we see their perspective, then we'll share that, and maybe it won't be as much of a concern as we think. But they didn't get us there on the phone, I'll just say that.
Okay. So with that, I guess we're at the point of public comment, and I'm looking on the list and don't necessarily see any public.
Agreed.
Okay. So with that, I guess we round out this meeting. I appreciate you guys all taking the time to join me on here.
Helen, thanks, Andrea, for hanging in there with us. I know sometimes this is a little bit awkward to be here alone, but for the public record, and especially a topic like this, there's great value. So thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. I agree. Thank you.
All righty. Well, we'll talk to you later.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.